taking another look at this series today, and just another investment, another chapter, if you will, in this new year word that I believe is establishing us and setting us up for where we are going in 2020, what we are going to do, and how we are going to be spiritually successful. And I want to welcome you back to the real world. I know we've been really unplugged for the holidays, and you've enjoyed time off with kids, and finally Christmas is gone, and the kids are back to school as of this last week. Your decorations are probably still up. We'll give you a little more time to work through that. If you're having thoughts of just leaving your tree up until next Christmas, then it's time for an intervention. Got to take that mess down, pack it up, and put it all away. But we've all felt it this week as we've tried to knock the rust off and get back into a routine and get our kids back into a routine. I don't know what's happened in my house, but I've woken up in the middle of the night and everybody's still up, and seemed like everybody's still having a party, and then all of a sudden Tuesday morning came and it was time to get up early and get back to the routine. And so all of that's happened, and then if you're fasting with us, it adds yet another layer on to that. But these 21 days are so monumental, and it's not too late to be a part of that, because they are making a difference in our lives. So last Sunday, I gave you my personal 20 in 20. I gave you 20 declarations, 20 things that I am pursuing, or things that I want to have happen in my life in this 2020 year. Anybody remember those? Anybody remember one that stuck out to you? Holler back at me. Do you remember one of them? What was it? Can't hear that. Anointed, yeah. Be here, yeah. Be adventurous, fantastic. Love, yeah, and be loved, absolutely. Everybody on this side of the church, listen. No one on this side of the church, listen. Patient, somebody said patient, absolutely. Faithful, absolutely. All of those, yeah, fantastic. Good, y'all do listen. This is so exciting to me. Amen. So just 20 things. You can go to the podcast and catch up if you weren't here and you want to know what everyone is talking about or what each of those mean. All of them are so important, because Habakkuk 2:2 says to write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. We've got to put this vision down. We've got to establish this. And really, really, right now, I know everyone says have your resolutions, have your goals, have your declarations decided on December the 31st of the last year so that you can start January 1st of a new year. But hear me, you've got 6 or 7 days of this fast now under your belt. This is probably the best time to start making declarations for your new year. This is probably the best time to start setting goals, because you've quietened some of the noise and you've silenced some of the external voices in your life, some of the things that are always competing with the voice of God in your life. I'm in a place where I can hear God, and that's what fasting does for us. It silences the noise so that we can hear what it is that we are supposed to hear. Remember Psalm 37 and 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. We need to be in relationship with the Lord for this to work. We've got to be in relationship with the Lord. To get direction, there has to be connection. Does that make sense? To get direction, if I want to get something from God, there has to be a connection to him, and I've got to make sure that I'm always working on that connection. Have you ever been in a place where your signal wasn't great, and you found yourself walking around the office or getting up beside a window or telling somebody, hold on, let me go outside, and you're looking all around as if moving one foot to the right or the left is really going to change that signal, but sometimes it seems like they come in clearly and then you're scared to move. You're in some weird, awkward position, but you're afraid to move because this is such an important call or this is such an important meeting that you've taken by phone and you don't want to lose the connection. Sometimes it can feel that way in our relationship with God. I don't want to lose my connection, and so I'm always tweaking and trying to figure out where can I move? How can I adjust? What moves can I make? What adjustments can I make so that I can make sure that I have good connection in my life? So today I want to talk specifically about seeing. I want to talk about spiritual sight. Because I'm wanting us to have a vision for our lives. We've got to have a vision for our marriages. We have to have a vision for our kids. We have to have a vision for our careers, for our health, for our finances. Whatever it is that you need a vision for, I've got to decide at the beginning how the rest is going to go. But where does that come from? Where does a vision come from? How do I get that? Is it making sure that I'm in church every Sunday in January? Absolutely, I want you to do that. But a vision is going to be a mix of what God wants and what I want. It's how a vision comes about. And it's not necessarily in that order. Sometimes we get that flipped upside down. Sometimes there's much more of what I want and a little bit of what God wants for me. And then we start trying to mix that in and seeing how we can come up with a vision or how we can come up with a plan for our lives. I would advise you, I would counsel you, I would coach you today to make sure that you have God first place in your life. It's not what I want and then whatever time I have left over or whatever money I have left over or whatever talent I have left over. I'm going to allow God to do what he wants to do with that. No, I want to put God first in my life. Matthew 6 and 33, Jesus is telling us, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. What are those things? It's the things that I want. It's the desires of my heart. It's my plans. It's my wishes. It's my wants. It's all of those things that I'm looking to accomplish in my life. But the only way to get those things to come to pass is to put God first. So I want to purpose my life. I want to orient my life around God first. I've got to put him first place in my life. I think I preached maybe last year or the year before about the moving children of Israel when they were wandering and they were setting up the tabernacle in the wilderness. The first thing they did was establish the tabernacle. When they moved into a new area, when they came into a new place or took on new territory, and they began to set up camp. We're talking about hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people at times. But when they came into a camp, they didn't start setting up their own personal houses first. No, everyone was involved in helping to establish the tabernacle, that mobile tent in the wilderness that was their place of worship. It was the representation of church, of God's house. Everyone worked to establish God's house first, and then in circles around the tabernacle, they placed their houses in rows, in circles. God was in the center, and all of them began to orient their lives around the house of God. Everyone's front door opened up so that it had a view of the house of God. That's the way I want to orient my life. No matter what I'm involved in, no matter what I'm doing, no matter where I'm going, no matter what my dreams are, no matter what my personal goals are, I want to wake up every morning and walk out my front door and see the house of God and know that that is first place in my life. And that that may be completely different than the way you're living your life right now. That may be completely opposite. We get that flipped so easily because I've got all of my list and all of my things and all of my dreams and all of my plans. And then, oh, wait a minute, it's Sunday again. Let me see if I'm going to be able to fit this in this week. That's not the way that I want to live my life. And think about this today. What could God do through you if you were to put him first in 2020? What could God do through you if you were to put him first? What could God do through me if I was to put him first? And if those thoughts are cloudy, then it's possible that you need this eye exam today. If those thoughts are fuzzy or blurry, if I ask that question and there's just blank stare, I don't really know, I don't have any plan, I don't have any vision, I don't know what it is that I want to see happen, then I want to help you today. Before we leave, it's an eye exam to see how we are seeing this year and how we are processing this year and the things that God wants to do for us. I want to go to Mark chapter 8 today. If you want to open your Bibles and follow along with me, Mark chapter 8, it'll be on the screen as well. Or if you're following on a smartphone, your Bible app, Mark chapter 8, verses 22 through 26. Let me walk through this just a little bit today so that you understand this story. The Bible says in verse 22, verse 8 of the book of Mark, "Then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him." Jesus, the capital He, Jesus came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to Jesus and begged Jesus to touch this blind man. It's not unusual for blind people to be led around. That's not uncommon at all. You see that. They have a caregiver, someone who's offered their arm or a shoulder, and they're leading them around. There's nothing unusual about that, but what is different about this is the people that are leading this blind man are literally begging for Jesus to touch him, begging for Jesus to fix his eyesight, begging for Jesus to get involved in his blindness. "Jesus, you've got to do something with him now. We tired of this. We cannot handle any more of this." You know why? Because it's hard to live with people who have no vision. It's hard to live with people who cannot see for themselves. You can see what they need to do to get their life together, but they cannot see what they need to do to get their life together. Have you ever been in someone's home who could not see very well? I don't say this with any, it's just a reality of life. Sometimes you'll go into someone's home and you know their eyes are not good, and you'll look around and you'll see dust on the end tables, or you'll see that things are just not quite as clean. Why? Because someone cannot see it. They cannot see the clutter. They cannot see the dust as it continues to mount up. And you're sitting there saying, "I would never live like this." Or, "Why in the world do they not dust right there?" Or, "Why aren't they fixing that?" It's because they cannot see. It's hard to live with people who do not have good vision. Sometimes our frustration is trying to get someone else to see what they need to see for themselves, but they cannot see it for themselves. And so these people get around this blind man and they bring him to where Jesus is and they say, "Lord, please, we cannot live with him another night. We cannot do this another day. We need you to fix his eyesight. He needs to be able to see." I'm hoping that 2020 is the year that I do not have to drag anyone to Jesus, nor do I have to be drugged to Jesus. I'd love for this to be the year that I just see for myself and recognize, you know what? I need to get my business together. I need to get my attitude straightened out. I need to get my mind on the right track. Nobody gonna have to request prayer for me because I know what it is that I need to do in my life. But at the same time, I don't want to have to drag anybody else. I want the Lord to help all of us see 2020. Bethsaida means the house of hunting. I love this because this is where the blind man is living. He's living in a place of hunting. He's living in a place of constant searching. It's harder for blind people to find what they're looking for because they cannot see it. And sometimes when we are deficient, our vision is deficient, when our eyesight, our spiritual sight is not what it needs to be, we don't even know, and we end up looking for love in wrong places. We end up searching in all kinds of ways and thoughts and ideas, and this man is living in a place of constant searching. He's living in the house of hunting. What are you looking for? I don't even know what I'm looking for. What are you hungry for? I don't even know what I'm hungry for. What is it that you, I don't even know what it is that I want. I can't put my finger on anything. All I know is that I'm miserable. All I know is that I'm unhappy. All I know is that nothing is settled for me. I'm just constantly hunting and constantly searching, and I have a feeling that I'm identifying people in this room today that feel that turmoil, feel that tension inside of you, constantly searching for where my answer is going to be. I'm hunting for what? What are you hunting for? Is it happiness? Is it love? Is it peace in your life? What are you searching for? So in verse 23, he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. He leads him out of the town. He gets the blind man and said, the first thing that is necessary for you to get what it is you need, the first thing that has to happen is I have to get you out of a place that you're searching for all the wrong thing and all the wrong places. I've got to get you out of this environment, out of this hunting and searching and constantly looking for something that you think is going to satisfy or you think is going to benefit you. Let me get you out of town because what you're looking for is not where you think it is. That's why a new year is always a good time to take inventory. I've got to take inventory of the relationships in my life. I've got to take inventory of the things that I'm investing the best of my time to. Am I getting any return on this? Am I getting anything out of this? And then continuing verse 23, and when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. I had to pause just like you do. What do you mean spit? Wait, whoa. He spit on his eyes. I mean, if you were to compare that to anything happening in today's time, of course, that would seem so disrespectful and just seem to be the ultimate disregard for his humanity. But that's not, of course, what Jesus is doing at all. Jesus is saying, I'm the one that created your eyes. I'm the one who put all that together, and I just need to get some moisture. I just need to get something that this is moldable again. I just need to get something in your life that is pliable again, that I can reshape something in your life. I could bristle and say, no, that's not what I want. Yes, it is unconventional, but could it be that Jesus wants to do a new thing with us in 2020, and we need to get him out of the box that we have him in. I don't know if I want to worship a Lord who spits on my eye. I don't know that I want a Lord that moves like that, a God that works like that. I don't know that I'm here for all of this worship. I don't know that I'm down for all of the energy, the vibe that I feel in this house. But what if in this new year we got God out of the old box that we've had him packed away in? And we said, Lord, we're going to let you move and do and work the way that you want to move and do and work. And so I look at it like this. If I'm in trouble, if I'm blind, I really don't care how my miracle comes, just so that it comes. I really don't care how I get my breakthrough. I just want to make sure that I break through. Doesn't matter to me how he does it. I just want him to do it. And is there anybody else that feels that way in your life? Lord, however you want to move and however you want to work and however you want to change, I want you to do what you want to do in my life. And then he says, what is it that you see? Tell me what you see. And verse 24, he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. What? It doesn't make any sense. You're right, it doesn't make sense. Because my vision is blurry. My vision is fuzzy. It's not what it needs to be. I love his honesty in this moment. I love how truthful he is with Jesus. He's probably a little nervous in the presence of the Lord. He's probably a little scared. He's probably still a little grossed out. He's got spit dripping down his cheek. He's probably a little overwhelmed in this moment. And Jesus is saying, tell me what you see. And he's so honest with Jesus. He said, I see men like trees. I see something, but it doesn't really make sense to me what I see. Things are better, but they're not perfect. I see something, but it's not what I want to see. It's not what I had hoped I was going to see. It's not the change I was looking for in my life. Let me ask you something. Are we too scared to say, I'm not there yet? In this culture of just appearing, because we have 89 filters to pick from, are we too afraid to say, hey, this is where I am? I can airbrush. I can filter, try to make myself appear. I mean, folk are filtering themselves till they're, I mean, you can't tell their nose from their lips. I don't know if it's an eyebrow or if it's back hair. I don't know what it is. It's a mess. What would happen if people said, hey, I'm not there. I'm making progress, but I still have a ways to go. I'm glad I'm not where I was. Before I met you today, I was living in complete darkness. Before I arrived to church today, I was living in complete darkness. And now I see something. It looks like men. It looks like trees walking around. It looks like, I don't know, I can't even make sense of what I'm looking at. But I know I'm seeing more than I was seeing when I woke up this morning. And for many people in this room, that is your testimony. You've been around here a few weeks, you've been around here a few months, and you're saying, no, I don't have everything in my life together just yet. Not all of my ducks are in a row, and I'm still trying to figure this out and figure that out. I'm still trying to process. But you know what? I have covered so much ground. I have come so far. I have seen so much improvement in my life. I've gained so much ground in my life. I'm not where I want to be yet, but thank the Lord, I'm not where I used to be. I am making progress. I'm making progress in my life, because here is the trick of the enemy. The trick of the enemy is when you've been in dark, you'll settle for little light. When you've lived in complete darkness, you'll get just a pinprick of light and you'll say, "Whoa, good, I'm good, great, yeah, yeah." When you've lived in complete misery, you'll get one moment of peace and say, "All right, good, good, I'm good, I'm good. Oh, that's good, that's good. I'll stop right there." No, don't settle for the pinprick of light. Don't settle for the small amount. Keep going. Whatever you were doing to get to that little bit of breakthrough, keep doing the same things until you get more breakthrough. Don't let the devil tell you that's all there is. Don't let him tell you that's all you're going to acquire or achieve. Hey, keep doing the right things and watch that light begin to grow. Is this making sense to anybody today? If God is doing a good thing in my life. I love Philippians 1 and 6. Be certain of this. Be confident that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished. Don't you know that the Lord did not begin a miracle in your life just to abandon it later? The Lord doesn't work that way. You may have houses in your neighborhood that were started 2 years ago, and someone ran out of money. A divorce happened. It's tied up in the courts. But there that house sits, and it's got spray paint on it, and the windows are busted out. You see the bones of what could have been beautiful, but it just sits there vacant, and the construction project is abandoned. But hear me, God does not work that way in your life. When he starts hammering in your life, when he starts remodeling your life, when he starts building your life, he's not going to get too busy, get tied up on other jobs or other projects and forget about you. No, he that has begun a good work in you is faithful until it is finally finished. Touch somebody and tell them, "I'm a work in progress." Check with me in a few weeks. Look back on me in a couple of months, because you're going to see that God has done this incredible work in my life, and I am going to be who God has called me to be. Lord, I'm fired up on Sunday morning. I know we got guests, so I'm trying to behave, but I feel something good in this room today. This is why we keep coming. This is why we don't quit. You're not where you were, but God is still working in your life. Verse 25, then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up, and he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Hey, don't be afraid to pray again. The Lord said, "That's no problem. Let me pray for you again. Let me put my hands on you again. Let me ask the Lord. Let me pray about that again. You know what? I'm going to go through that small group again. Why? Because I need a little more out of that. I'm going to go to the altar again. I'm going to go through Discover Church one more time. I'm going to be baptized again." Why? Because I'm just a work in progress, and the Lord is doing something in my life, and I'm not going to be afraid that it didn't happen the first time that I prayed. I'm going to keep progressing and moving forward and seeing what it is that God will do. Look, he said, "This time I want you to look up." Don't try to look at people. Don't get your eyes focused on the wrong things. I want you to look up. Shift your focus. And the Bible says that he was restored and he saw everything clearly. That's the goal. That's the goal for 2020. Second Sunday of this 2020 year, I want to put a desire in your heart that says, "You know what? I want to see clearly this year. I want to see what God has for me. I want to see what God has for my family. I want to see what God wants to do through me." I'm not waiting until March to talk to you about this. I'm not waiting until the half-year point to talk to you about this. The second Sunday of the year, we can get clear vision and see what it is that God wants to do. So let's take the eye exam today. Let's see where we are in our spiritual eyesight. I'm learning a little something about vision. I told you last Sunday, I've been 20/20 all my life until all of a sudden the last couple of years. I don't know what it is, but it's really, really messing with me because I'm to the point that these readers are on all the time. I'm thankful that this iPad is far enough away that I see it clearly, but if I put that phone in my face, if I put a book in my face, I'm looking for reading glasses because everything is blurry. So I'm learning. There is nearsighted vision. Nearsighted. All my glasses wears. Who is nearsighted? Who's nearsighted? All right, I see hands. Nearsighted folk in the room. Nearsighted vision means I can see things that are close to me, but everything in the distance is fuzzy. It's what nearsighted vision is. I can see things that are close, but everything in the distance is fuzzy. To be nearsighted in life is to live only for the moment. To be nearsighted spiritually says I have no plan that stretches into the future. Nearsighted people ask questions like, how much will this cost me a month? Not what's the total cost? What how is it going to impact me right now? When you're nearsighted in life, you have to make snap decisions. And you hope the gamble will work. Because you can see things close, but you can't see how it's going to impact you long term. All I know is the date was a blast. The marriage is going to be a mess. But I can't see beyond just the fun I had right now. Nearsighted vision. Then there's farsighted vision. That means people can see things far in the distance, but can't focus on things that are close. These folks, they focus on the pot of gold somewhere over the rainbow, but cannot find the stairs to get to the rainbow. They're always just about to get there. It's always about to happen. They're dreamers. Closer than ever. Have an amazing 5-year plan, but no clue about the next 5 days. And the only way I can have a successful 5-year plan is if I conquer the next 5 days. But farsighted people cannot see that. They have a lottery mentality. It says, I'm not going to save, I'm not going to worry about it, I'm just going to keep playing the lottery. My family, Christmas time, my parents are probably listening to this, but one of the family members, they were playing that game, you know, where everybody brings a gag gift or fun gift. There's all different names for it, but they were playing that game, and so one of my family members stopped at the convenience store and bought 4 lottery tickets. And so he gets back in the vehicle and he scratches off 2 of the lottery tickets and they're duds. There's nothing there. 0. He drops the other 2 in the gift bag for his exchange gift. And my stepfather picks his gift and scratches it off and gets like $270 or something like that. And I said, did you tell him favor? Ain't fair. That God made sure the tither got the money. Anyway, that's another lesson for another day. Sometimes that's what farsighted people do. They have a lottery mentality. I'm just going to keep scratching off every day, and sooner or later something is going to hit. Something is going to work out. Something is always going to come together. But what's amazing is when things do not come together, it's never your fault. It's always my fault or someone else's fault. Am I teaching real life today? This may be too much for sweet little January series, but everything is always someday way in the future. and I don't know how to accomplish the task that is right in front of me. I do it with leaders all the time, people that can dream and produce big ideas. Okay, great, but tell me how we're going to, what are our first steps to accomplish that great idea? So there's nearsighted, there's farsighted, and then there's yet another one. There's an astigmatism. An astigmatism is neither farsighted nor nearsighted. It's blurry vision because your eye can't focus on one single area. I'm not an ophthalmologist, not an eye doctor, but what little bit I learned, light passes through the front of the eye, which is the cornea, to the lens. The cornea and the lens help to focus the light rays onto the back of the eye, which is where the retina is. But if you have an astigmatism, the light will not focus in a single place, and that causes everything to be blurry. And I've learned that some of us have a spiritual astigmatism. It's not a love issue, it's a focus issue. I just struggle. Everything is blurry. Look back for one moment. I know we kicked it to the curb and we said goodbye to it and 2019 is gone. But if you have any memories of last year at all, if they're blurry, if they're fuzzy, if you look back on 2019 and you say, man, that was a blurry mess in my life, then I need to submit to the vision that Jesus has for my life and work on finding my real, true purpose. Because if I change my focus, then that changes my vision. And a vision literally changes everything else. If I can see that this area of my life is not going like I know it should go, and that area is not working like I know it should work, then I've got to do some adjusting. I've got to figure out a way that I can see things clearly in 2020. I just wonder, have you ever picked up someone else's glasses and looked through them? You ever done that? I do that sometimes and find out this doesn't work. It's usually distorted, blurry, warped. Everything looks fuzzy. It's unclear. It's distorted because their prescription is not for you. Hear me. They went to the doctor. They took the eye test. They found where they were deficient. They got corrective lenses. Their eyeglass prescription is only for their eyes. Hear me today. You will never see clearly looking through lens that were built for someone else. Never happen. Trying to live by someone else's prescription. Trying to see. Well, you mean you went to the eye doctor? You paid that $150? Tell you what, make a copy of your prescription and then I'm going to take it to the pharmacy. I'm going to get it filled for me. Because you went to a good doctor, right? Yeah. Highly rated. Highly recommended. You bought some high quality glasses, right? Yeah, the best of the best. I'm going to do the same thing and then I'm going to do what you did and it's going to work for me. No. You've got to get your own prescription. You've got to find out what it's going to take for you to see clearly in 2020. You've got to find out what it is that God wants to do in your life, because you can't wear someone else's glasses and see what they've seen. You have to get your own. It doesn't matter if the best doctor prescribed them. Sometimes we try to copy others thinking it'll be easier for us. It never is. So you ask the question today, how do I get my own prescription? You find that in a personal relationship with Jesus. I've got to have my own individual walk with God. You say, but Pastor Dale, I'm waiting on my spouse. I'm waiting on my husband. I'm waiting on my wife. Listen, don't. Because their prescription is not yours. And their glasses won't fit you anyway. You've got to make a personal decision in your life that you are going to follow Jesus in 2020. Every head bowed, every eye closed for just a moment today. I want us to take an eye exam today. Where are we? Where am I? Where are you today? Am I nearsighted? I can see. I know where I'm eating lunch, but I don't know what's happening the rest of the day. I've got no plan for the rest of the week. I can't see anything out there in the distance. Or maybe I'm dreaming and I see incredible things happening 2 years from now, but I can't see anything 2 hours from now. Or maybe life has happened so much and so fast that everything is blurry. Everything is fuzzy. I'm dealing with this spiritual astigmatism. I can't get anything to come into focus. No matter where I am, no matter what I'm seeing, I'm telling you, Jesus has a fix for you. He's got a fix. He can solve it. He can correct it. When I finally break down and go to the eye doctor, I don't know if I'm going to be regular, bifocal, I don't know what it'll be. But they've got a fix for me. I'm just delaying it. I don't want to face it. It's like I'm admitting I'm getting old, so I don't want to deal with it. That's the way we do, sitting here with heads bowed and eyes closed. We think if we leave it alone, it'll just get better. If I leave the addiction alone, it'll solve itself. If I just leave the sin alone, it will fix itself. Listen, it will not. Like vision, it'll keep getting worse and worse. Till you get an answer prescribed. I've got an answer for you today. His name is Jesus. If you're in this room and today is a day that you need to make a commitment to Him, if you're in this room and today is the day that you need to say, yes, I want to begin this year. I want to start this year seeing clearly. And I want you to pray with me today. You're going to hear people praying beside you and in front of you. And